discovering stories of courage, determination, and hope. Welcome to Faith Radio's On the Road. Now, here's Ryan Thomas.
Life is short, I want to live it well. One life, one story to tell. Life is short, I want to live it well. And you're the one I'm living for.
While working in his dad's junkyard as a kid, Roy Goble had no idea what his future held. An incredibly successful career in commercial real estate, founding and leading ministries, churches, and nonprofits across the globe. Now, Roy delivers some of his most surprising, memorable, and practical leadership lessons, many of which come straight from his junkyard days. The CEO of Goble Properties, the director of Pathlight International, and the author of the brand new book, Salvaged, Leadership Lessons Pulled from the Junkyard, releasing on Tuesday, is our guest today on the road. Welcome to the show, Roy. Happy New Year to you, sir.
Thank you, Ryan. It's great to be here, and Happy New Year to you.
Thank you so much, sir. Is it fair to assume that this is a genre of books that you have to yourself, leadership lessons that originate in junkyards?
You know, if that's a genre that I own, I'll take it. Absolutely. Yeah.
No, your book caught my eye right away. I grew up spending lots of times in my dad's junkyard on the farm, but I think our experience was a bit different, right? Because my friends and I imagined that it was a fortress and we were defending it and just basically made it our playground. You were quite a bit more productive, it sounds like.
We had plenty of time to play, but yeah, my dad put me to work just as soon as I could read and write. And I think I was 4 or 5 years old when he handed me a yellow paint marker and said, "See that pile of tires over there? Here's how you read the size of the tire on the sidewall, and I want you to mark them all." And, you know, and I, a lot of the work I did was make work when I was a kid, but I absolutely came home sweaty and covered in grease a lot when I was a kid.
Now, I know there's a significance in the word choice in the title of the book, Salvaged, because the concept of a junkyard would seem to say, you know, this is stuff that's beyond all use and all significance at all, but there's a much more dynamic and a hopeful meaning in that word, salvaged. Is that right?
Yeah, that's a good catch on that. In the junkyard, we would buy usually wrecked cars, or they might be abandoned cars that we'd pick up from the city, that kind of thing. And they were valued more for the parts than the whole. So we'd take them apart and we'd find somebody that needed a fender or a motor or even just seatbelts. So they were valued more for the parts than the whole. And I found that that perspective really changed how I handled people and viewed people in a negative way, because I was beginning to value people more for the parts that they could bring to my life rather than valuing them as a whole person. I think Christ calls us to value people as whole people. And in that sense, there's this salvaged process that's going on in the kingdom all the time, where he's taking broken parts and broken people and broken things, and he's finding redemption and a way to offer us grace and salvage us.
Mm. Your dad shows up just entirely throughout the book in so many ways, a huge influence on you, obviously. His presence is felt in such a significant way. So it's a huge question, but what was it about your dad that made such an imprint on you?
You know, even after all those years in working in the junkyard, I headed off to college and came back with a degree, and he and I had an office side by side for 25 years after that point.
Wow.
So we were very close, and he offered so much grace to me. I was a 22-year-old, recently married, trying to find a way in the world and trying to become a success. And I made a lot of mistakes, and he was incredibly patient. He'd get mad at me, as you know any boss does sometimes. But we were never angry at each other more than just a few hours. And that was a wonderful blessing to have a boss like that and a father like that. He always believed that family came first before business. So if we had any kind of issues in the family that were business related, he would either put a pause on all of that and say, hey, it's time for Christmas dinner or whatever, mm-hmm. because his attitude was, I want to be able to love my family around the Christmas dinner table and not worry about business, and money comes much, much later.
You know, as we step back just a little bit, take us inside the way that you put Salvaged together as a book. It's structured around these 31 lessons from the junkyard, right? How do you pair those with scripture and application too?
Yeah, great. We had fun structuring the book because each of the 31 chapters is really easy to read. It's basically a 5-minute read. Some might be 8 minutes and some might be three, but it's an average of 5 minutes per chapter. And what I tried to do is write a story or an insight at the beginning of the chapter that hopefully the reader finds engaging, and hopefully they even find it funny. And then I pull out from that a leadership lesson. And the point is that we can find leadership lessons in all kinds of experiences in life. They don't have to be something that comes from a leadership guru. There are leadership lessons all around us. So the book is structured to tell a story. Hopefully it's funny or engaging or insightful for the reader. And then I share a leadership lesson that comes from that. And then I find a biblical parallel to it. So there's a way to come back and say, hey, Scripture talked about this, you know, 2,000 years ago or whatever. Mm-hmm. And so that's how the book is structured. And we want people to be able to pick it up and find it very approachable.
Mr. Roy Goble is the author of Salvaged, Leadership Lessons Pulled from the Junkyard, releasing on Tuesday. The title is a very good clue, and we're going to discuss flamethrowers and donuts in just a moment. That's a further clue, but he does use humor very, very effectively. Honest to goodness, it was a joy to do some reading in the book, so well done. Well done, sir.
Thank you. Thank you. Thanks.
Before we get to the donuts and the flamethrowers, one of the great lessons that you lay out, even the unlikeliest characters can get the job done in the junkyard, and you see that is true in Scripture as well. That is powerful stuff. Can you unpack that a little more?
Oh, absolutely. You know, Scripture is filled with examples of people that nobody expected to add up to anything suddenly become put in powerful leadership positions. You know, whether they're redeemed from jail and suddenly they're Pharaoh's right-hand man, or a shepherd out in the fields like David and wasn't even brought forward as a potential king. And there's just story after story like that of these people that were forgotten, ignored, overlooked, even in some situations despised. The junkyard's kind of the same way. And so were a lot of construction crews. I worked with a lot of those in my 20s and 30s. And there's this sense that you're hiring people because they have something special they can bring to the table and do something unique. So I worked with a lot of people that were drug addicts or drug dealers, for that matter, Hell's Angels, people that were illegally in the U.S., all kinds of characters that I worked with over the years. And you know what? They all brought something unique to the table. They all brought something powerful that got the job done. And so they were valued and appreciated for that.
I have to say, if you're listening and just enjoying, you know, not only the great wisdom of Roy Goble, but also the style and the humor that the man has, one thing you ought to do is check out the YouTube channel that Roy has promoting this book. Because in this YouTube channel, among other things, you're going to see Roy use a flamethrower and deliver donuts to his home. This is truly a beautiful thing. How did he find the YouTube channel before I ask you the real question?
Oh, yeah, they can just look for my name, Roy Goble, on YouTube, and it'll pop up.
Whose idea was that, by the way? It's brilliant.
Oh, thank you. It was actually my idea.
Yes.
We had fun with it, and I talk to a lot of different people about ideas, and we have actually a few other videos that we didn't post just because they didn't work. They were kind of confusing, and we went, nah, that's not going to go. So we backed off of that. But we had a lot of fun with it. And you mentioned the flamethrower one. I had to hunt high and low to find a flamethrower for that video shoot. It was not easy to find. And finally, I found out that Elon Musk, of all people, his company down in Southern California called The Boring Company, had created these propane-powered flamethrowers as a publicity stunt. And I found one on eBay. And so I bought it, brought it to the film, and had a lot of fun burning up the plant that my wife had just planted.
I love it. I never imagined when we started this conversation that we would end up on Elon Musk's flamethrower. This is a beautiful thing.
Yeah.
So the chapter is called The Flamethrower and Immunity. We're obviously not going to pass on asking about that one, Roy. What's going on there?
All right. So I was in real estate development for a lot of years. You mentioned that in my intro bio that I was in commercial real estate. And I was before a city council one time, and we were asking for permission to close down a small trailer park. And, you know, before people start thinking I'm the ugly landlord, all of our tenants were there, too, asking that we close it down. Mm-hmm. It was a really old park, and we had arranged to relocate all the tenants in much nicer areas. We were paying for it, by the way. And the city rules were such that you couldn't close it down. And it was one of those catch-22 things where you're just rolling your eyes and going, come on, you got to find a way to solve this. And at one point, a sympathetic city councilman asked me, Mr. Goble, what do you need to really solve this problem? And before the attorney could grab my arm and keep me from saying it, I said, immunity and a flamethrower. And you know, so that's on public record somewhere. And there was this collective gasp, and I could see my attorney slump in the corner as I said it. But then everybody realized I was joking, and there was laughter. And we actually ended up getting it approved and moving forward. So the leadership lesson there is that every now and then, you just have to say something that crystallizes and captures everybody's imagination. Mm-hmm. And you have to say something that shocks a little bit so you can get them to stop and go, oh, wow, yeah, this is there's some reality in this. So that's the story I used to share that.
That's phenomenal. Phenomenal. Thank you for that. If you're just tuning in, this discussion about flamethrowers is with Roy Goble, the author of Salvaged: Leadership Lessons Pulled from the Junkyard, new book releasing on Tuesday. We mentioned donuts as well. Chapter 4 then is entitled Bring Donuts When You're Late and Don't Be Late. Would you explore that one for us, sir?
It was a rule in the wrecking yard, in the junkyard. Now, you have to remember that, you know, we were not hiring Rhodes Scholars to work at the wrecking yard. So we had a lot of guys, and it was almost always all guys, who didn't show up for work sometimes, just disappeared on us, whatever. And so there was a rule that if you were late to work, you better bring donuts. And I was late to work more than once, so I was always bringing donuts. And, you know, when the boss's son is late, boy, you get in a lot of trouble.
Mm.
So I made sure that I was always bringing donuts. But the funnest story there is the guy that suddenly just disappeared. We had no idea where he went. And 3 days went by. We didn't know if he'd been, you know, run off with his girlfriend and got eloped. We didn't know if he had just found a better job and moved on, or if he was in jail. I mean, we had no idea. And he suddenly, in a sort of biblical way, shows up on the third day, and he comes to work with 2 dozen donuts. I mean, these giant pink boxes, right? And he walks in at 8 a.m. with these 2 dozen donuts. He puts them on the counter and says hello to everybody and walks right on back to his regular job. Nobody said a thing about where have you been for the last 3 days, because he brought donuts. So there was this wonderful sort of grace in the midst of that, where you know you messed up, you're asking for forgiveness, the forgiveness is granted, and life goes on. And I love that system, and we still use it today at my company. If you're going to be late, you better bring donuts.
Forgiveness has always been one of those beautiful concepts, but now Now I'm going to sort of tie it up with the concept of donuts, and it's going to be even better. Thank you for that.
Yeah, yeah.
You describe, you know, what we know to be true. Really, leading in the real world is messy. And you know, maybe we've wondered before, well, how do I lead, follow Jesus, and be a witness when I know I'm not perfect, right?
Right.
You say, though, perfect people make lousy leaders. What does that mean, Roy?
Well, perfect people will, they're less productive sometimes because they're afraid to get things messy. And a perfect leader is afraid to make the hire because, well, maybe that person's not quite the right person. Or a perfect leader says, hey, this is a good report, send it back and redo it, you know, and I want it done this way or whatever. Depending on the situation, the perfect leader is the person that tends to insist on perfection, and as a result, nothing ever gets done because nothing is perfect in life. People aren't perfect. Projects aren't perfect. Certainly our spiritual life isn't perfect. And so perfect people make lousy leaders because they're so unproductive. And we just had more of a philosophy of, look, if you are pulling apart and you forgot to drain the engine oil and you get engine oil all over the place, well, look, you can clean it up later. But you got the part off for the customer so that we made a sale. So there's this sort of messiness that you just embrace. And you can take that to real life in the sense that we all live in this tension. We all live in this world where things are messy. And there's plenty of dysfunction. There's plenty of confusion. Now, granted, Christ calls us to be perfect. But, oh my goodness, none of us are. So how do we live in that tension? And I just think that's a conversation that we people of faith need to have more often. Is how do we live in that tension?
Yeah. Yeah, that's a great word. You know, there are so many directions that that we can go with this, but one question that I couldn't resist asking, and forgive me in advance, this is a topic you've written an entire book on, your first book, but I just couldn't resist it here. In your first book, Junkyard Wisdom, you look at the intersection of success and mission, and you actually right. subtitle it Resisting the Whisper of Wealth in a World of Broken Parts. And I just right. wonder, you know, how do you live that out, being someone who's had such financial success and yet steering clear of the love of money that the Bible talks so much about?
Wow. Well, you're right. I wrote a book about it, but if I ever figure it out, I'll let you know. and I think that's part of that book, and that's a theme that carries forward from the first book to the second, is living in that tension and trying to understand what God is calling us to do and yet not really being up to the task. God clearly doesn't want us to fall in love with money. God clearly doesn't want us to fall in love with fame or fortune or anything else. He wants us to love Him, and He wants us to love people. But there's so much temptation around us. And for me, that temptation came in the form of financial success in my business. But it's not necessarily for other people. It'll be something else for others. So how do we live in that? How do we understand that there are things in our life we have to have? We have to have some success. We have to have a vocation. We have to have, a combination of things just to survive and be productive in this world.
Sure.
But how do we resist the temptation to fall in love with those things? And I found it usually just comes down to accountability. It usually just comes down to being open, honest, and authentic with people about the struggles that you have. I fail at that miserably. People often like to tease me, well, yeah, but you failed at this. And I go, no kidding. I fail at this like every hour. So I get it. But I also am willing to embrace the attempt. And I wish more people were willing to do that. I think most are. I just don't think people share that with others. And I wish they would. I'd love to hear the stories from others.
That's a powerful turn of phrase. Embrace, what was that one more time? Embrace the attempt.
Yeah, embrace the attempt of living intentionally, and to embrace the attempt of resisting that temptation that's around us.
I love that. Awesome. Well, we're talking with Roy Goble on the road here for Faith Radio. He's the author of Salvaged, Leadership Lessons Pulled from the Junkyard, releasing this coming Tuesday. And it is evident in many of the responses that Roy has given today. You know, as somebody who was really brought up to believe humor was a key component in rolling with the punches of life, I loved seeing how you displayed that sense of humor so often throughout the book. Am I barking up the wrong tree in thinking that humor has played a pretty big role in how you've met the surprises and the uncertainties of your career?
Whether it's been being part of a crazy fun family growing up, or my first date with my future wife was to go see a comedy show, or having those really tense moments where you had the opportunity to say something to break the ice and calm everybody down a little bit because you got a smile or a chuckle out of them. I just think that when we laugh, and when we laugh at ourselves in particular, we have a unique opportunity to learn and to grow. And so I use humor all the time, whether it's talking with folks or writing or managing a company. It's just a powerful tool.
Man, it sure is. And I love how much it shows up in the book Salvaged. And we have about 5 minutes left, Roy. It's gone quickly, but we've so enjoyed the conversation. We don't want to go anywhere without hearing where we can go to learn more about you and all the great work that you do, as well as grab a copy of Salvaged.
Well, Salvaged is available everywhere. All the usual online platforms. You can also go to Nav Press, which is the publisher, and you'll find it there. You can go to my website, which is just roygoble.com, and there will be a couple of those videos we talked about are on there, I believe. We have a nice endorsement on there from Bob Goff, who wrote the foreword. I've got different platforms there to purchase the book. You can also go, if you're really curious and really want to get into it, you can also go to junkyardwisdom.com, which is my blog, and see some of the crazier things I've been talking and thinking about lately.
And I'll just say it one more time. If you haven't seen the video where he actually uses Elon Musk's flamethrower, that's there on his YouTube, Roy Goble. It is stellar, stellar stuff.
You'll also see the homemade bazooka we made that we mounted to the pickup truck.
You fire, oh, I shouldn't give it away, should I? But here I'm going to do it. You fire the bazooka into your own building.
Yeah, into the side of the metal building. My wife wasn't real happy about that later when she found out. The black mark is still there, actually.
Yeah. Roy Goble on YouTube. That's G-O-B-L-E, right, Roy?
Yes.
You know, just in the last few moments that we have here, so much of your book is about how leaders can follow Jesus in that messy world of leadership in the real world. And I just wonder, you know, as we close, could you dig into that concept just a little bit? You say it's actually simpler than we might expect. How can that be?
Yeah, well, that's a good question. But, you know, towards the end of the book, the conversation shifts a little bit. And in particular, at the conclusion, I talk about how we as leaders, and all of us in various forms and at various times are leaders, but we as leaders are probably doing our best work when we're helping people walk towards Christ. And that doesn't really matter if you're operating in a Fortune 500 company and you have thousands of employees that answer to you, or if you're just a single sole proprietor, or you're a mom and you've got a family to run, or if you're a school teacher with 30 kids in the class. If you're doing something that brings light, salt, yeast to the world around you, then you are bringing people closer to understanding who Christ is, because they'll see Christ in you. And I really believe that that's the essence of good leadership as a follower of Christ. If we get stuff done, great. That's what forms our credibility and proves our competency. Mm-hmm. But at the base of it is this idea of character and faith. And that, to me, is the important value of leadership.
Well, there it is. One more time, the name of the book is called Salvaged: Leadership Lessons Pulled from the Junkyard. Mr. Roy Goebel has joined us today. The book releases on Tuesday. Roy, what a pleasure to talk with you. It really was fun and really so much wisdom that you have for us. Thanks for taking the time, sir.
Oh, you're very welcome. This was great fun, and I am, like you, surprised it went by so fast.
Thank you for saying that, sir. Bless you with the new book coming out. We wish you the very best.
Thank you. Appreciate it, Ryan.
Thanks for sharing in the story of this latest episode of Faith Radio's On the Road. For more on today's conversation and the full podcast archive of all our episodes, look for On the Road when you visit myfaithradio.com.